want to read to you out of Revelation chapter 21. In the second to last song there, we sang, "He Won't Fail." And last night I was reading just one of the books that I'm reading, and they were discussing that whole idea that despite what we're going through, we trust that things work themselves out for the good. We understand that God holds all things, and when we live in this broken life, we experience so many failures and tragedies and difficulties, and it can be very difficult to then trust God with our future and trust God with what's going to happen, but He will not fail. Can I tell you something? Before God made man, He's the Alpha and Omega, it says right here in Revelation. He's the beginning and the end. He sees the beginning and the end from where He sits. And He looked into the future before He made man. And you know what He decided? You were worth it. He didn't have to do that. He could have saw all of our failures and all of our difficulties and said, this isn't going to be worth it. But He decided it was worth it. God knows. And then it says this in Revelation 21, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth." This is the future for God's people, "a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying," I just look forward to this. I hope that I actually get to hear this, that we hear it when it happens. "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and He will dwell with them. They will be His people, and God Himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes." Come on, every tear wiped away. Can you look forward to that? He won't fail. He won't fail to fulfill His promises to you and I. He is worthy of our praise and worship. "There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." Then He said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." Would you join me in prayer? What a beautiful name it is. Lord, what You did for us on the cross, the forgiveness of sin, the opportunity for eternal life, a new heavens and a new earth, all things being made new, You don't fail at what You set out to do. Lord, we honor You this morning for that. We praise You and we thank You. And Lord, I pray for every one of the people in this room that may be struggling with that idea. What about all of the failure I feel right now? What about all of these things in this moment that seem like they will be eternally painful? God says, I'll wipe away every tear. I will fulfill My promises in time. That's who He is. Lord, we thank You for that. I pray Your spirit of comfort would be on each one. Lord, that You'd be stirring each one's faith as they move forward with their day and their week. As each one is going through different circumstances, as each one has a different personality and gifting and strengths and all those things, Lord, I pray You'd be walking every step with them. And God, we worship You and we honor You. You are Lord. We are not. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can have a seat. Would you give a hand to the worship team this morning? Hey, our worship team is always looking for some of you musicians and vocalists out there. If you've been curious or interested about getting involved with our worship team, be sure you speak with Hannah, who led us this morning, or her husband Nick, who is playing drums. They would love to connect you with our worship team. You do have to be able to do it. That's why they don't let Jason and I do it. Yeah, we don't get to do it. Well, I did it last week. I faked it enough to get by, but yeah, appreciate those guys very much. If you are a guest with us this morning, I want to welcome you to Mount Helena Community Church. I'm really glad that you chose to come join us today. We are always looking to grow our family. We think everybody has a part to play in the kingdom of God, and we want to help you find that place and activate who God is in you and who He's called you to be in the kingdom. So we're glad that you joined us. And if you want to continue to get to know us, we do have a connect card for you that you can fill out and let us know that you were here. We love knowing that we've had guests and help you get connected with us at the church. We have a welcome packet you could pick up. Or visit with any one of us that maybe look like we halfway know what's going on around here, and we can get you pointed in the right direction. So really appreciate that you have chosen to join us today. I've got a couple of announcements for you. Coming up on March 16th, I had the wrong date up here last week. It's March 16th. We have our after service prophetic. This is where our prophetic team ministers in a time of prayer to those of you that sign up for it. They break up into little teams and they pray over individuals as they have requested. You do need to sign up for that. The deadline for that will be the Sunday before, which is 16 minus 7, which is the 9th. Did I get that right? So the deadline is the 9th. You'll have to be signed up by then. You can sign up online. There's also a sign-up sheet out there at the Welcome Center. For those of you that want to use a pen to sign up, you can do that. So you're going to want to do that here in the next couple of weeks so that they can get that all in order for the 16th. So very excited about that. I do want to mention a save the date for you. I don't have a slide for you yet about it, but our overseer and good friend, he's one of our oversight team, Clem Ferris, is going to be with us the first Sunday in April, which is April 6th. But what's really important about that is that actually April 4th and 5th, which is a Friday and Saturday, we're going to be having evening meetings here at the church. Clem is coming with his friend and an old friend of ours, Stu Schultz, and Clem's son, Jamin, is also going to be coming with them. They're going to be ministering to us prophetically as well. So we're going to have a time of worship. We're going to have a time of prophetic ministry, which I will explain that. I'm taking 2 weeks here in a couple weeks to explain some of that for those of you that have never been a part of that. So you're going to want to save the date that weekend, that first weekend in April, Friday and Saturday. Don't make other plans. This is a really important part of who we are as a family, and it's very much about building the body of Christ. And so it's an exciting time that is coming. There'll be more information in the days ahead, but I just wanted you to know that to save the date. We have a couple of family fun nights that our MHCC Kids Ministry is putting on. Corin, I owe you breakfast or something, buddy. Thanks for that. It was really good. Yeah, we want to get fired up about this because we want to, you know, it can be hard to find activities to do as a family and little kids and all those kind of things. We get busy with stuff, but how about a place where you can just come have a good time with your family, maybe meet some other families here at Mount Helena, Friday, February 28th, and then Friday, March 28th, right here at the church. We do ask that you sign up just so we have some reasonable idea of how many people are going to be here. You can do that online at our website. All right, are you ready for what's next? All right. We are continuing with our Hearing God series. This is going to be week 3. And we are going to hear today from my friend and fellow elder and community life pastor here on staff, Mr. Jason Harris. Would you welcome Jason into the pulpit this morning?
Thank you, JR. Awesome. Thank you so much. Love it. Corin, I heard that. I heard that as well. Take him up on breakfast. Maybe two. We heard that, right? Yeah. Do it, Corin. All right, just one. We'll take him up on the one. Thanks, JR. Awesome. Yeah, as mentioned, we're continuing this Hearing God series, recognizing his voice in a world of noise. Can we say chaos? In a world of chaos, I want to hear God's voice. I want to hear his voice more and more. We're taking 10 weeks to discuss that, and I still don't know if that's enough, right? The number of ways that we can hear from God, and I want to get better at that. How many of you are with me? We are here this morning, and we're going to dive into what we will actually be in pretty much the rest of this series, and that's hearing God through the Holy Spirit. Many of our small groups are also meeting on the content that we're talking about on Sunday. We call this a campaign where we're listening to messages and sermons here on Sunday and getting into God's word together on a specific topic, but some of our small groups are doing the same and they have a guide in their meeting. Before we continue in week 3 today, I want to share some numbers with you of what our small groups look like right now, a little bit of a small group summary for this winter semester. To begin with, these Hearing God groups, the total number of groups, we have 15 groups, which is a smaller number, a lesser number than the fall, but there's 160 people who have signed up who are a part of those groups. 160 people are meeting on what you're hearing about today sometime during the week. And 19 of those have never signed up for a small group at Mount Helena before. Isn't that awesome? 19 more people who are connecting in addition to Sunday, who are building relationship and connection, but going through God's word together to hear his voice better. In average, the best numbers that we have is just to take this auditorium number, and about 241 of us gather here on a Sunday from week to week. And taking that number and 160 persons, then about 66% of what's meeting here in the room right now are meeting in small groups, hearing God groups. And additionally, there's 9 other groups who are meeting outside of the hearing God groups, and there's 15 first-time people who are meeting there, meaning 34 people are in small groups at Mount Helena Community Church for the very first time. 34 of them. I love it. I'm so grateful for that. But about another 95 people are meeting in those groups for a total of 230 people. 230 individuals, 230 persons are in 24 current small groups here at Mount Helena. I'm stoked about that. I'm so proud of you. I'm so grateful that you'll make time in your week, not just on a Sunday morning, but you'll make time to meet with others in a home, in a classroom here, to get together and to discuss the most important thing in life, and that's Jesus Christ, who gave his life for you and who is imparting abundant life to you in wanting you to hear from him more and more. I'm stoked about that 230 number. So though that's less groups in total, that's a higher number of people who are participating in groups than compared to in the fall when there was 217. We had more groups and we had many more duplicates where people are in multiple groups. We have less of that this time around, but we have more individuals participating, and I think that's a win. I love it. So welcome to week 3. The last 2 weeks we've been discussing hearing God through his word and how important of a foundation. We sung Firm Foundation today, that song, right? But the word of God really is the firm foundation that we need to be building our entire relationship, our entire experience, our entire thinking and believing, and our faith upon God has to be filtered through the word of God. This week, we're talking about hearing God through the Holy Spirit. To begin with, I want to say, yes, he is the third person. He's an individual, and he's not someone to be afraid of. The Holy Spirit is not someone to be afraid of. We're going to take a look at that a little bit more. If you have your Bible and you want to turn with me somewhere, you can turn to John chapter 16, where we'll spend a little bit of time in a passage there. John chapter 16 and Jesus teaching us about the Holy Spirit and showing us how to relate to him. But the first verse I want to hit is our theme verse this week. That's John chapter 14, and it's verse 26, where it says, "But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." 3 quick things about who the Holy Spirit is. He's our advocate. That term advocate is a word that means helper, that means defense, that means counselor. Like in the terms of a defense attorney. How many like some courtroom drama? Anybody? Those shows are still popular, aren't they? When I was a kid, it was Judge Wapner. Now who is it? Judge Judy? And they keep trying to phase her out, but you can't phase out Judge Judy. You can't phase her out. She just keeps going. She's like the Energizer Bunny, right? But like at my house, like I'll be going off on a rant and I'll be sharing and I'll be presenting my case and I'll be sharing about how right I am. And for some drama, my wife will share something that is so right and just stop me where I'm at. Guys, anybody relate? Courtroom drama at your house? No, Nick? I know different. I know different. I know you and I know Hannah. Hannah's got some right in her. But you guys, we need the Holy Spirit. We need relationship with the Holy Spirit because he's so right. He's so right. I need so right in my life. I need so right in my thinking. I need so right in my believing. And every once in a while, my believing and my thinking and my actions need interrupted. And they need interrupted by someone who's for me. Someone who's there to help me and to counsel me and to keep me on the right track. He's an advocate for us. He's an advocate before the Father for us. And he's an advocate in front of our enemies for us, to defend us and to stand for the truth and to lead us into all righteousness. The Holy Spirit is our advocate, and he's your defense attorney. Number two, he's your advantage. Jesus said in John chapter 16, verse 7, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." The Holy Spirit is given to us, is meant to be in our life. We're meant to be in relationship with him, for him to be our helper. He's not someone to be afraid of. Amen? It's a big question. How do we relate to a spirit? How do we relate to a third person who's a spirit who we have a hard time connecting with or relating to? But I'm here to convince you today, you want to relate to, you want to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. You do. He's your advocate. He's your advantage. I like to think of him as my advantage, my helper. Number three, he's your power source. Jesus still, in the words of Jesus, in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." You will receive power. He's my power source, my power advantage, if you will. That's not to be super prideful and boastful, but it is still truth and reality. He's meant to be your advantage in life. He's meant to be your power source. The Holy Spirit can make us nervous and make us anxious when we don't have much of a relationship or maturity in our relationship with him. I like to think of it as in the terms of a topic that's not big in my world. I think of my sister-in-law who's sitting over here. When Laura was younger, she still is, but I love to go to her swim meets and watch how powerful she is in the water. Water is not a great friend of Jason. I had a traumatic experience as a young person and nearly drowned, and so I had to be resuscitated and come out of that, and we still have a not so great acquaintance with water. But watching Laura swim, or you think of your own kids, when you took them to swim lessons, where was the safest place for them to swim? Where they could touch, right? Where they were comfortable. They could swim and they had a great confidence. But like Laura, my kids could ask her, even when they were young and they were learning swim lessons from her, "How deep of water can you swim in? Do you have to touch?" "No, I can swim where I can't touch." "Can you swim in 10 feet of water?" "Yeah, I can swim in 10 feet of water." "Can you swim in 20 feet of water?" To a little kid, that's scary. To Jason, 47-year-old Jason, that's still a little scary. "I can swim a pool that I can touch the bottom of." "But Laura, Aunt Laura, can you swim in 100 feet of water? What about infinity?" Laura can be like, "Infinity plus one." When you can swim, right? When you're comfortable with swimming, it doesn't matter how deep the water is. And there's something there in an analogy for us as well. It's not a matter of how deep, how big, how wide, how experienced, how scary the Holy Spirit might be. He's meant to be our advantage, our helper, our advocate, our friend. You want to get to know. You want a relationship with the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 16, we're going to pick up in verse 12. But before we do, I want to say we're in the book of John, and it's the book that people commonly recommend to a new believer, to someone who's getting into the Word. And there's something unique about the book of John, because John was the latest gospel of the four gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. John was the latest to record his version. of what had happened. He had had a number of years. He had lived out and walked out his Christianity and his faith. He had preached and he had taught and he had built churches on the earth before he sat down and he wrote what he did write about the life of Jesus Christ, recalling the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And Paul spends a significant amount of time in these chapters sharing about what is one of the most important days in the history of the world. It's the day that Jesus would be arrested. It's the day that Jesus would spend time with his disciples and with his followers, and he'd give them specific instructions and directions. Go here, go there, you'll find this, and you'll find that. And he's gathering them in a place to share really important information with them about the days ahead. Because the days ahead are not going to be the same. It's not going to be more of the same. It's going to be different. And it's going to be different forever. And he's sharing some specifics with them. And when he does that, he's preparing them for a big change that's about to happen. A big change, a shift on the face of the earth. I like to think of the shift like this. In terms of the Old Testament was written, it was developed, those stories existed for the people of God, who the Israelites thought at the time was just them, but God was also about the foreigner and also about the slave. And it was really about the heart of the Father God on earth. It's what Father God was speaking and sharing and trying to teach and to impart to the people on the earth in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, we're given the four Gospels and we're given the life of the Son of God who walked the earth for 33 years, and we're learning about what he is doing, living like you and I, and teaching us how to live and how to be, how to relate to the Father, and how to understand how to be the church in love, in peace, in mercy, in grace. And yet, we find ourselves in this time after those Gospels, after the life of Jesus Christ, where Jesus is trying to teach us right now. He's trying to teach the disciples as he's gathered them on this pivotal day where things are about to change in a moment. In this night, things are going to change forever. And Jesus is teaching them about the phase that you and I still live in today. And it's about the Holy Spirit. He says this in verse 12 of John chapter 16. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. That's a different part of scripture to me when I read that, right? I'm not just hearing a parable. Jesus is announcing a truth. There's so much more. How many of you agree God has so much more for you? That's what I read in that statement. Jesus is saying that about his disciples, the followers who are gathered around him. But that phrase is in this story, I believe, for you and I still today. God has so much more to say, more than you can now bear. I would like to tell you, but you can't handle it, right? It's almost the internal dialogue that's coming out of Jesus' mouth, and not in a mean and a sarcastic way, in a truthful way. I would tell you more, but you are not ready, and it's definitely not supposed to come from me. He's really making an announcement about who they're supposed to hear what's next from. In verse 13, it says, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. Jesus is always taking us somewhere. There's always a plan. We may get a little directionally challenged in life, but Jesus does not. The Holy Spirit knows where he's taking each person in this room. The Holy Spirit knows what your afternoon looks like today on a Sunday, February 23rd. He knows what's about to happen this afternoon. He knows what your Monday looks like tomorrow. And he's wanting to lead you and to guide you, to help you, to counsel you, to be your power source, to be your advocate, to be your advantage on a Monday February 24th. He's got a plan, and he sees more in every one of us. He sees more in you. We can't get hung up on comparing ourselves to others. God has a plan for you, and it doesn't compare to his plan for anybody else out there. It doesn't compare to the plan someone else has for you. God's plan for you sticks out. I love Ephesians 3:20. The plans, the thoughts, the ideas of God, if we were to even try to imagine, they couldn't compare. They could not compare with the goodness, the creativity, the ingenuity, the magnitude of God's thoughts, plans, desires for you. In verse 14, he says, he will glorify me, the Holy Spirit will glorify Jesus, because it's from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. That word glory, we don't use very often on a Sunday morning or in church. We read the word, right? Maybe at Christmas time and a little bit at Easter. But that word glorify means to add weight to add weightiness to add significance, priority, promise. The Holy Spirit gives weight and importance to the words and then person of Jesus Christ. Verse 15 says, all that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. A very helpful way to think about it is Jesus is trying to hand off and to pass off what he's saying is supposed to be more significant, more important. It's connected, it's submitted under God's authority, but it's the person of God, the third person of the Trinity, who's our portion now to actually get to know and to walk with and to be with, to be strengthened with, to be covered and to be protected by, is the Holy Spirit. And he's inviting, Jesus is inviting his disciples and his followers to the conversation where the Holy Spirit is receiving from Jesus, who's receiving from the Father. The three of them are on the same page, and Jesus has given you and I an invitation to the conversation that the three of them are having. That's significant, isn't it? If we could hear that and be a part of those conversations and a part of those heartbeats, a part of those thoughts of God for the way he wants your house to run or your business to run or his thoughts in your health crisis, their solutions to your worries, wouldn't you want to be a part of that conversation? And Jesus is saying, that's why I have to go. You'll be better off. It's okay, I'm sending the helper. I'm sending the advantage, and that's our advantage today. The Holy Spirit always has more for us, and he always has a next step. I want to take a moment to highlight the significance of saying yes to the Holy Spirit. We're going to look in a moment. In a moment, we're going to look at some of the temptations and the voices and the reasons why it's hard to say yes. But I want to convince you today, so I'm going to start now. You want to say yes to the Holy Spirit. When you know the Holy Spirit is speaking to you and saying something to you, highlighting something to you in the Word, or he's highlighting someone in your heart, I want to encourage you, you want to say yes. Those moments from God, from the Holy Spirit, that he's speaking something to you and trying to guide you or direct you, you're going to miss something if you don't say yes. Yeses matter to God. When we read his word, there's time and time again that people say no. Not necessarily literally, but especially in what they do and how they think and how they act and how they behave. And God's looking for the man and the woman that would turn their eyes towards him and say yes. Why is it so difficult for us to hear the Holy Spirit? There's so many other voices that are speaking to us. There's so many other voices saying, so many things, and they're meant to convolute a possible yes to God, a yes of obedience or a yes of stepping out. We heard from two of our friends from Africa this last year who shared a message with us about stepping out of the boat, right? And those are moments, it's very hard if you're Peter to give a yes. But it's yes that God's looking for in us. I want to cover for a moment, there's at least four other voices that the Bible makes clear to us that makes it difficult for us to say a yes. These are four different types of voices we can hear. The first one is our flesh, right? Because we're selfish. We have a self-confidence about us. We care about our own comfort and our own safety and our own security. And inside of us, we think we can do the best job ourselves. And it's our flesh that competes, that speaks, that shares, and sows a way that thinks we're more secure, we're better off. This makes much more sense. The second one is the enemy. We have a liar and a deceiver and accuser, right? Who loves to sow doubt and confusion and to cloud the clarity of God and the certainty of God. Is that what you really heard? Is that what God really said? Is that what really should happen next? And he lies to us and he accuses us. We're going to look at some examples here in a second. But then there's the voice of the world that also criticizes what we've heard or criticizes us. And it's to bring about unbelief, to sow disbelief into our life, to sow discord and disruption between us and our relationship with God, and specifically our relationship with the Holy Spirit and what he's speaking or leading or guiding us to do. And the last one is our circumstances. They look like excuses and exceptions. But, how many times, I wonder, in a day, does my mind come up with excuses? Listen to and entertain the voice of an excuse. That little phrase, but... And I think God wants to help us identify and recognize those thoughts and line them up with the truth of God. So for an example, let's say the Holy Spirit asks you, we've been looking at the Word of God the last 2 weeks, what does it look like if the Holy Spirit is trying to encourage us to get into the Word, to come read our Bible? In our flesh, it looks something like, you're tired, you deserve a break. Is that really how you need to spend the next moment? What about you? Oh, but then there's all these tasks and these things, and your wife and your kids, they're counting on you. But you should take a break, right? There's all sorts of things in our flesh that scream out and yell in contradiction. You don't have time for that. And the enemy, he'll come to us and he'll say, well, you blew it today. What kind of Christian are you? You're going to make time to read your Bible? Can you even believe it anyway? But what does God's word say? Even when we were enemies of God, not when we were good, not when we were on track, when we were the worst of enemies for God, Christ died for us. He gave his life for us. That's what God's word says. The enemy's not going to remind you of that, is he? He's not going to be reminding you of that. Yeah, you should go read your Bible because you have been a really bad person today. You should go read your Bible. That's not our enemy. He wants to accuse you. The world wants you to question the Bible. After all, it was written by men. It was oral for years and years before it became written. Hundreds of years later, it was assembled and put together. It's flawed and it's full of contradictions. At my small group this week at Rebecca and I's house, where our small group gathered this week, someone in our small group shared about something that a Christian professor at a Christian university, when they were a young person, sowed in their minds to get them to doubt the Word of God. They sowed the doubt that you couldn't really believe the Bible for what it says, because those things didn't really happen. They're just made up and they're written to lead us in this kind of truth, this so-called truth in America today. And for years, it took time for God to walk her through this barricade that a Christian professor at a Christian university had put in front of her that had separated her from reading, believing, and entrusting the Word of God, that she grew up as a little girl in a children's church Sunday classroom, believing that she thought she was reading and learning about the Word of God. And he made it out to be a book full of stories that didn't really happen. Can you imagine what that would do to your faith, right? And the discouragement. But that's what the world and their influence will do to separate us from spending time with God in His Word. And our circumstances, of course, scream out to us that we're busy and you can wait until another time. That's why the last 2 weeks we've been saying it's so important to have a specific time and a place. If you're meeting in a small group, that's been a part of our discussions. It's so important to have a time and a place. Jesus, being the Son of God, had to draw away and spend time, and He had a place. And He would go away, He'd separate Himself, and He'd spend time with the Father. In the second example, the Holy Spirit may be asking you to pray with your wife. Guys, we're so up for debating prices and negotiating a deal. We're so comfortable in those areas. But if someone asks you to go pray with your wife, if the Holy Spirit were to ask, you're getting really quiet on me. Thank you, Margaret. Margaret's embracing her man over here. What if the Holy Spirit asks you to pray with your wife? Maybe you're really great at closing a business deal. You're one of the most ruckus fans. Corin, for your football team. But can you pray with your family? Our flesh would scream out, it's been a long day. This will take too much emotional energy. The justifications in our minds. The enemy might say, they hurt your feelings today. They don't deserve prayer. That's not true, is it? That's not how God teaches us to even treat our enemies, much less our spouse. The world will tell you prayer won't really change anything. Prayer doesn't really work. If that's good for you, fine. But it doesn't really work. And our circumstances may say that you're not ready, there's more to do, there's better time for this. It would work out at a better time, another time. I want to tell you, those voices come to me as well. I have the same voices in my head trying to take me down in my thinking, in my believing, in my acting, in my praying, in my small group. We all have busyness. I don't think I have it. Much less busyness than some of you who are in this room. And yet, I do not want to miss having small group in my own home with my family, with my kids, seeing mature Christians, beginning Christians, new Christians, even unbelievers gathering and turning the pages in God's Word to share and discuss, to pray together, and to believe for something only God could do. It's important for me. It's important for my family. I don't ever want to outgrow my need for the Holy Spirit. I don't ever want to outgrow my need for the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I need you. I need your advocacy. I need your advantage. I need your power source. I need your relationship. I need you to defend me. I need your unctions in my kids for them to accomplish and do everything that you created them for. Holy Spirit, I'm believing you, and I'm wanting to be in relationship with you, and I don't want to take you for advantage. I want to be a person who says yes to God. I know it's not going to be every time, but God, I want to build momentum in saying yes to you and your Spirit and what you're doing in my life. How does the Holy Spirit help us hear God? Jesus only has 2 points here for us today. Number one, he guides us in all truth. The Holy Spirit guides us in all truth. How many of you have ever been on some sort of adventure where you have to follow a guide? Been on a missions trip, climbed Granite Peak or some other peak even taller or higher? It's not easy following a guide. I've led a number of missions trips, and it's very hard to prepare for every circumstance your team will come up with when you're headed out onto a missions trip, particularly if they've never been on a trip before, if they've never gone to another country and been with another culture that they don't have any sort of context or experience with. It's really hard to anticipate all the expectations a team of people, say 12, would have on a missions trip. And you'd need the Holy Spirit to help you prepare them and to come home safe, right? It's not easy to follow a guide. It's not easy to be the guide, but the Holy Spirit wants to be in our life. At times in life, I feel very directionally challenged. On the ground, in the mountains, I don't feel near as challenged. Sometimes I do get twisted around still. But sometimes in life, do you know what I'm talking about? Life throws challenges at us, and it's hard to know what direction you're supposed to go. But there's not enough circumstances in life that the Holy Spirit does not know the answer. You need him as your guide. You need to acknowledge him. You need to build your relationship with him. I want to encourage you, thank you so much for coming every one of these weeks, but I want to encourage you, turn up the dial. Turn up your intensity dial, your desire to hear God for yourself. So many people walk the earth today and have the whole story of the Bible looking for a person. One of the stories in the Bible is about a man who wanted to find someone to be his priest, to be his God-man, to hear from God for him. And he was able to purchase him for 10 shekels and a shirt, which doesn't mean much to us today. But there's a similar desire in us that we'd really like someone else to hear for us. But I want to encourage you, you're made, you're created to hear from God yourself. It's important to have trusted voices. We're going to get to that in this series as well. But you can hear for God for yourself. I want to encourage you, turn up the desire dial to hear from God. And I'm just going to be honest. Again, I heard those voices. I've heard those voices for myself, and I've tried to tune them out. And I've had those experiences in life. 2 years ago, when I got really sick and ended up sick with sepsis, it was a very confusing time, and it was a directionally challenging time. Trying to figure out, what are we supposed to do? How do I get well? How do I get better? How do I get my energy back? I can't just be on a couch forever, can I, Lord? What's your plan for me? Who do I need to listen to? Who do I need to go to? And I want to tell you that he promises to lead us in all truth. Sometimes that's all you have. Today we trust our apps on our phone for directions, don't we? We trust them and we depend on them. How many of you know sometimes those apps will lead you right into a barbed wire fence? My son over here, Cole's about to begin driving his father-in-law's truck, and I love this chunk of barbed wire that is on the front bumper that you cannot get out without taking that bumper and that fender off from a really great hunting story, an expedition, right? And sometimes life feels like that. But sometimes what I have to hold on to is my relationship with the Holy Spirit. That he is the guide and he promises to guide me in all things. To guide us in all righteousness, in all right living, in all truth. And there's no area of our lives where the Holy Spirit lacks expertise or he's unwilling to communicate with us. It's not his problem. It's us. He will guide you through every crisis. If you find yourself in a job crisis today, the Holy Spirit's here to guide you. He's here to guide you in relating with your family. Just as he has me, he's here to guide you in a health crisis. He's here to guide you in a conversation that you need to have, you know you need to have with your teenager, and you don't even know where to begin or how to have it. The Holy Spirit knows how to speak through you and how to share through you. Maybe it's a coworker or a friend that you see hurting and you identify and relate to. This happens to me at times. I see someone, and because the word, this phrase is in me, in the Beatitudes, Jesus talks about, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. And sometimes I see someone, and I see God saying and hear the Holy Spirit saying, poor in spirit. They're in a time in their life that they're poor in their spirit. And I want to believe God's word that says, blessed are they, for theirs is the kingdom of God. But I know that there's some sort of dependence upon me too to share the kingdom of God with them in order for it to be theirs, in order for them to be blessed. And I want to say the Holy Spirit is our guide, and he's going to lead us in all truth. Number two is he reminds us of everything Jesus says. JR and I have worked a lot of years together, and I'm still amazed sometimes at the stories that come up. The things that I remember that he doesn't remember. The things that he remembers that I don't even remember. And he starts bringing it up and jogging my mind and my memory with some details. And I'm like, oh yeah, I know what you're talking about. Do you know what I'm talking about? Has that ever happened to you? Josh Yakos called me, talked to me this week. He was like, hey, I'm preparing to preach a sermon. And I want to talk about that spring break that we did in Denver that year. Do you remember what year that was? And we started talking details about it. And we started talking the trip. And I tell him what year it was and some of the details. And he has different details than what I have. And some of my details he had forgotten about and doesn't remember. We need prompts. We need cues in our life. We need reminders in our life. And that's what the Holy Spirit's for. But I want to encourage you. First and foremost, you got to get the Word of God in you. You need to be in the Word. You need to be spending time in there. However difficult it seems to you, the Holy Spirit wants to put it in you because he has use of it in you. He wants to remind you. He wants to prompt, and he wants to use the Word of God in your life for the impact in others' lives. After 35 years of reading the Bible, I still need the Holy Spirit in my life, reminding me and prompting me, and I need more and more of the Word of God in my life. Last verse, Luke chapter 11, verse 13 says, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask them? And there's an exclamation mark, so I probably should have read it a little differently. How much more? The Holy Spirit. Father wants to give you the Holy Spirit more and more because he knows that we need him, but it's dependent upon our ask. I want to encourage you as we close today, ask of the Holy Spirit. Engage him this week. In these coming and remaining weeks, engage the Holy Spirit in your life. You can hear the Holy Spirit for yourself. You can hear God for yourself. You can be moved and prompted in ways. We're going to talk about other ways, specific ways the Holy Spirit speaks in our life. But I also want to finish with, God's looking for a yes. The Holy Spirit is looking for a yes in your life. I know as a young person, God moved and spoke to me sitting on the edge of my bed in a trailer house that we lived in Bird's Eye. And I knew there was times I would look across from my bed and there was a full-length mirror there and I'm just looking at myself in the mirror and I can hear and feel God moving in my life and asking me some questions. And to some of those questions, I said yes. And as a young teenager sitting in the same spot, but also walking over the hill to the neighbor's pond, I could hear the Holy Spirit asking for a yes in my life. As a young adult and a student at the University of Montana in my dorm room or walking across the oval, I could hear the Holy Spirit asking for some yeses in my life. God was leading me, little did I know, to some big yeses. And I didn't know where they were going, but they pertained. And one day, I was spending some time away and with God trying to hear for sure if God was bringing Rebecca into my life and if he wanted me to ask her a question and whether it would be yes. And so I went to a lunch and I sat down with Rebecca's father and I began to ask him for the hand of his daughter, and he gave me a yes eventually after 2 weeks, which was fair because I'd only been seeing her for 2 weeks before I asked him the question, because I believed I had heard something from God. Little did I know, he let me know with his yes in that next lunch that there was a big God story behind it all. But he didn't want to burst it. He didn't want to share it. He wanted Rebecca to be able to share that with me. Many months before that, on our first meeting, Rebecca heard from God, "That's the man that you're going to marry." I still went away to North Carolina and to Romania and served, and I was gone for an extended period of time, and it still took time for us to connect together. But I'm saying all that to say our yeses to the Holy Spirit matter a lot. God has a plan, and he's leading it in a purposeful direction because there may be a bigger yes that's coming ahead. But our little yeses to the Holy Spirit are meant to go somewhere and to lead us somewhere and to guide us somewhere. And he's wanting a yes. Would you sit down this afternoon and spend some time in my word? Would you pray with your wife about that situation that you're both stressed about? The Holy Spirit is going somewhere and he wants to do something. He's looking for some yeses. He's looking for a yes here and a yes there. And he's leading you somewhere. Amen. Father, as we close, we want more relationship. I want more relationship with you, Holy Spirit. I want to be able to say yes more and more to you. I want to be a person of obedience. I pray that you would make us a people that say yes to you. We trust you to lead us and to guide us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Would you give Jason a hand this morning? That was excellent, Jason. That was very encouraging. I was very encouraged and provoked, and that's good stuff. That's the conclusion of our service today. I want to let you know we do have a prayer team up over here with where this prayer banner is, and there he is, and Brandon would love to pray with you and his team. So if you guys would like to receive prayer about anything, anything at all, feel free to approach them. They'd love to take the time to care for you and pray for you. For the rest of you, have a great rest of your week. See you later.